Greetings and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believer City Church. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers Church. This is the time where each week we gather in small groups throughout Dunn County and beyond to revisit, if you will, our previous Sunday message. This time we seek to discuss and apply it to our individual and practical lives. So if you're local, you're probably tuned to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio for this broadcast. And if you're further away, you're likely on our web broadcast, maybe even with us via regional TV. But however you got here, we are certainly glad you got here. We began the book of 1 John on Sunday in a message entitled, This is How We Know. Our text was from 1 John Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's jump into it.
It certainly has been said on various situations that we are all stars in a movie of our own making. So we all have our story. We can certainly tell others about the accounts of our lives, or the adventures that we have participated in, the adventures that we have embraced. But you know, any second person account, it's never going to be the same as having been there. We've heard the stories. We've read the stories. We have our own stories here in this church. Some of you have been around long enough to have participated in those stories. He was there when Lazarus walked out of that tomb. He was there when they crucified Jesus, and he was there at the empty tomb. He touched it. He smelled it, and he felt the reality of it all. And as he began now to write these letters, the church, at least for the epistles that he wrote, the church had existed for several decades. And like now, I'm afraid both time had subtly allowed both false doctrine and apathy to creep into the greater church. He says, we saw him with our own eyes. We touched him. You see, Jesus wasn't a phantom. He was flesh and bone. He was a living being. He walked this earth. And yet, he was all God. Therefore, it has to be more than that. It has to be more than hearing the story, even believing the account. There has to be something more. As we read those complete words of Christ in that account, it becomes very clear that as we abide in him, his joy abides in us. It's not hard to find that individual. It is inarguable that we cannot abide in Jesus unless we truly, absolutely, and forever are radically reborn as a new creature in Christ. Many of us, I think this morning, have a sense that out there is something that is meant to make our life meaningful. Something that will make us realize what life is for, why we're here. And much of people's lives are spent trying to discover what that something is. And I'm not talking weeks and months. I'm talking years, decades. Coming to terms with that haunting realization that we just can't seem to find it. But you see, all of this has nothing to do with that purpose, because our purpose, it's not a relationship, it's not a cause, it's person. If you don't get that, you'll never find your way. Because to find it, to find that purpose, is that you must find Him.
If you have ever been with a first-rate storyteller, you know how vivid someone can paint a picture of an event or maybe even a location. On the other hand, if you've ever been given a secondhand account of such a place or an event, you know that no matter how good the storyteller is, nothing can really replace a first-hand experience. Nothing can come close to actually being there. The Apostle John, in this letter, seems to be swept away by the memories that were flooding his mind. And yet he's clearly wanting to do more for the reader than just to, I don't know, share some epic experience that he had with Jesus. No, he's wanting the reader to actually join him in that experience. Now, John, he embraced his involvement physically with God in flesh as they walked together during their mutual earthly ministry, just as we are today being invited to personally be involved in God in spirit. We are being encouraged to not just hear the story, but to actually be a part of the story itself. Now, this aspect of life with Christ has always meant a great deal to me personally. I think that some people can innately be back row kind of people. You know, people who like to watch the world pass by their door. They're documentary people. They're travel show fans. They like to imagine what it would be like to go. But you see, I've always wanted that up close and personal experience. I wanted to feel it. I want to touch it and to smell it, not just watch it on a screen. And that passion, of course, has taken me to so many places around the world. John's call here certainly hits home with me because of that thinking, that passion that he is exuding here in this scripture. I never wanted to just hear about the exploits of Christ. I wanted to be as close to the action as I possibly could be. This issue may be on the surface, or may seem, rather, on the surface to you to be but a nuance, to be maybe just a style issue. But in reality, I'm here tonight to tell you that it is, in fact, so much more. For our modern culture tends to watch the theatrical television version or hear the church story accounts while rejecting that first-hand personal account that John speaks of herein. We seem to think that there is some sort of spiritual osmosis, if you will, that, you know, that can be received, wherein we can go to church and you know, hear the stories and get credit for the actions of others, not to mention the actions of Christ himself. And that phenomenon, hey, has very far-reaching ramifications. For we live in an age now that whole church communities are embracing what I would call a Jesus does it all kind of movement, where on the surface their idealism has a ring of spirituality and a ring of authenticity. But it involves taking the truth of our redemption, wherein we cannot add to the cross, we cannot earn our redemption, and then taking that truth and applying that fact to the reality, or rather to the actual daily walk with him, aka discipleship. So it fits over here in salvation, but it doesn't fit over here in our daily walk with him. The first aspect is true according to Scripture, but this latter is a fraud and it's a lie. We embrace it, certainly, or rather it's easy to embrace because it takes us completely out of the fray. If we take that latter idealism, we are completely out of the action. And for many of us, that's exactly where we want to be. We want to be out of any and all responsibility as to how things play out. You know, it's all God. And hey, that sounds so very righteous. It also sounds, to me, so very boring. Because God sent his Son to die for us, to make us indeed square with the house. But he did it because he loves us. He did it because he wants us to have an intimate and ongoing relationship and communion. He wants us to get involved. He wants us to actually participate, and clearly he does so in our lives. And furthermore, clearly that's what the Apostle John wants for us also out of our text today. Our failure in this thinking places God very far away. It places him out of sight and unaware. And when that occurs, what happens naturally is then we begin to compartmentalize our lives, because we think we can. We think we are incognito. We can then appear churchy at church and, well, worldly out in the world. We don't intimately engage our God any longer. We don't naturally think he will then therefore intimately engage us. We are far away, so he is far away. Now, John indeed waxes eloquent here as to the finer aspects of his own story and that of the other apostles. He says, "We heard him. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him." His hopes are clearly that at least some of his listeners, some of the readers of this letter, would be inspired to a new engagement. That some of us would step out of the theater of life and onto the boat and onto the plane, or maybe onto the bus, wherever and whatever was needed in order to go. See, in Mark 16, on his way out the door, Jesus commanded his followers to go. To go into all the world. Not to watch it, and not to read about it, not even to talk about it, however good such might be, not even to pray about it. He told us to go out there, to engage, to touch God. Now, there are no doubt few and far between, for even Christ acknowledged that his way is narrow and few will find it. So indeed, these individuals are going to be, how shall I put it, rare. We know in life that there's always going to be big talkers. We know that there's only going to be just a few who will be able, like John, to stand boldly on their way out of this life and say, "Hey, I was there." And again, that could be a big talker. You know, the guy who feigns his knowledge about everything. But in reality, there's always those people who are all talk and no walk. The spiritual world has their talkers too. And once in a while, just once in a great while, there is that guy who is actually in the game. The one who is able to say, "I was there." And not just in some game of flag football game, but fully in the spiritual NFL. Now, sadly, this issue is more than just levels of involvement. something I can write off, you know, as my style or your style. No, the ramifications of what I'm speaking about this evening, it goes much deeper than that, because despite our best effort to present otherwise, hear me now, gang, there is no JV Christian team. There's no Christian light. There's no Bleacher Boys in Christianity. Somewhere we've lost track of this indelible truth. There's only one path, his path. Because Christianity is innately a life of actively and passionately seeking to live like our teacher, like our Savior, like our Redeemer. And we know he was definitely fully in the game. He was not a bystander. He didn't find a rocking chair somewhere, you know, back in Nazareth and just camp out. So while some of us want to believe that we are Christians while rejecting that commitment, that communion, that engagement, John, however, is saying, and he will be saying even more, by the way, that the truth is such folks really don't know him at all. Oh, they may be a professor, but they are not, according to John, an authentic possessor. They may be on some level happy, but John, and indeed Christ himself, wants us to experience more than that. He wants us to experience authentic joy. Full joy at that. And that does not happen while tacitly watching from afar. That only happens by actually being a part of the story.